Playboy Radio.
Sirius XM 102.
You're about to experience Playmate Over. Playmate of the Year. You are the Playmate of the Year. Playmate of the Year. You are the Playmate of the Year. Miss Bunny.
Hi everybody, this is Playmates Present with Raquel Pompton, Miss April 2012.
And Nikki Lee, Miss May 2012.
And today we are with Adam Ant. How are you, Adam?
Very well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's very early here in Santa Monica here. You have a fabulous view out here.
Yeah, lovely, lovely view. See, no one's sunbathing yet, but it's not hot enough yet.
I know, it's not.
You like the nude sunbathers?
I've never seen any. My eyesight isn't that good, you know.
We need to get you some binoculars.
Yeah, you do.
So we're here to talk about your upcoming album, the beginning of next year, your tour right now in September, which actually starts tomorrow, which is Nikki's birthday also.
Oh, happy
birthday. So, yeah, this is a great birthday present to me.
How do you feel about this, going on tour again and just being out there performing?
Well, I've been performing for 18 months solid with my new band. We're called The Good, The Mad and The Lovely Posse. We're just ready for the States, really. We're doing 22 shows away in America.
Oh, nice.
And got a single coming out November the 4th called Cool Zombie. And then the album's going to be released on the 21st of January next year. So.
Nice.
Busy time.
That's good.
Are you going to go back to UK, where you're originally from, and perform there as well? Or is this just an American tour?
Just this, well, I've done a British tour before this. I'm doing this tour and then I'll go back. I'll do a British tour in November.
Nice.
And then I'll be
And that's going to be for your single?
For the single. And then I'll hopefully come back here early next year and do an album tour. So.
Yay.
That would be phenomenal. I'm sure there's a lot of fans who can't wait to hear your stuff all over again.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to play for them. You know? I've done a lot of tours of America. I've done 6 tours of the USA. So, it's never really, I've always got, you know, people contacting me from the USA, I'll come back. So finally we made it. So we'll hopefully it'll be worth the wait.
Yeah. On this tour, are you going to be playing any of your old hits that everyone probably wants to hear, I'm sure?
Well, that's what I've been doing. I think it's a bit unfair after such a long time away to come back just to the new album. I'm playing one track off the new album, which is called Vince Taylor. And that's all I've been doing in England, is playing my favourite songs, which includes the hits, obviously, as well as some B-sides and early stuff. There's quite a lot of stuff from the early album, Dirt Wears White Socks, which kind of, it's nice to play a selection of the whole repertoire. So hopefully there'll be whatever period you got into it, hopefully there'll be something that you liked when you see it live.
Yeah, for sure. What about, I mean, you're saying that there's a lot of things that you have recorded that are, I mean, you've been through all different genres. Mm-hmm. I mean, you started as punk.
Mm-hmm.
What has been your favorite genre to perform and present to everyone? Where do you feel your true talents come out?
It doesn't really matter I started in the punk rock era, but I've been called all manner of things, including New Romantic, which I certainly am not, post-punk. I just think, you know, that's why I called it ant music, because I felt that, you know, that was what I was singing. And despite the fact that some people thought it was pretentious, I didn't really care. So when I go on stage, I'm just playing my stuff. Well, hopefully it doesn't sound like anybody else's, so it can't really fit in anywhere else. You know?
Right.
Mm.
And you say, like, you had your own genre, ant music. And that comes from also your name, Adam Ant.
Mm.
How exactly did you come up with that? Because that's not your born name.
No. Well, my real name's Stuart, and Adam and the Ant sounded better than Stuart and the Ant. Adam was like, when I grew up in the sort of late, in the 70s, all the sort of, like, Jagger and Bowie and Alice Cooper all were really skinny, and I was never skinny. I was a bit more Sylvester Stallone-shaped, because I'd done a lot of physical jobs when I was a student. I was a groundsman and all that stuff. So I decided the first man being Adam, so that was Adam, and ants, they'll survive a nuclear holocaust, so Adam Ant seemed quite a good idea.
I like that. I like the origins.
Yeah.
That's my explanation, but there's been many others, but that's my explanation.
Nice. Yeah, there has been actually a lot of different explanations.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted
we
to
read
know.
Something completely different, but it's good to have it from this from the source. and himself. Now, you've been everywhere. You've everywhere and all times. You've been surviving the 80s, the 90s. Now you're in the 2000s. Mm. 2012, it's another decade. How does it feel to still be playing and have that energy? I mean, you're a dancer. You're a performer and you're a singer. How can you still do that?
I think, you know, when there's guys like Mick Jagger around, you always think, well, there's nothing really special about it if you're very disciplined. I'm quite a disciplined person. I've always been pretty disciplined in what I, you know, drink and eat. And I think you have to be a narcissist. I mean, in the work you do, yourself, you can't go out and if you eat hamburgers every day, you're not going to be very good at your job. So it's really just a sense of discipline. And also, I've always approached my career like an athlete. So every concert I do is like a marathon because it's 2 hours. And at the end of it, I'm out. That's it. I'm finished, you know. And if you don't have that, if you're not completely wiped out after the show, then you haven't really done your job. So it's a bit like an athlete's approach to the work.
That's a very good approach. I'm going to take on that one. So after a job, I'm going to be like, Nikki, I'm not going after party.
Well, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, well, maybe. Yeah, only if Adam Ant is there.
Well, you're also with music and you've also been an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite of the two?
Well, I think music's more of my natural, suits my natural ability, but acting always intrigued me, and I think it was leading on from really the theatricality of the videos that I made, and also because they came from watching films and plays. So I opted to do a play first. I did a Joe Altman play in Manchester Royal Exchange Theatre, which started off, and then I came to America and did, the first job I did was Equalizer, and Amazing Stories for Spielberg, and then I did, Northern Exposure, which I really enjoyed, and then some movies. So it was a learning curve, but it kind of helped me really with the discipline, you know, the learning how a film was made. The early mornings didn't really worry me. I was used to that. But I actually admired the discipline of it, and I enrolled in a class here in Los Angeles and was in class with, Ray Liotta suddenly or Daryl Hannah, and then you realise, you're okay in your own little world, and you go into another world and you start from scratch. So it's quite a humbling experience, which I enjoyed.
Yeah. I really want to ask, because I was reading up on you, and you were on Tales of the Crypt.
Yeah.
And I used to watch that every Saturday night at midnight. That was like the one thing me and my dad would sneak up and watch, and my mom wouldn't know. And was that? What exactly, like,
that was that experience? Well, that was a wonderful opportunity to, was directed by a wonderful sort of master director, John Frankenheimer, who's one of the old school guys. He directed Birdman of Alcatraz and The Manchurian Candidate with Sinatra. So this guy was a kind of legend to me anyway. And then I got the job, and then I was working with Blythe Danner, who is, what's her name? The mother of a very famous actress over here. But she was a wonderful seasoned actress. So I learned a lot from that experience, going in and I had to play this real nerd with sort of glasses and a sort of terrible pullover on.
You definitely were not the nerd back then, so that's different.
I looked a nerd that day.
He was on his roll.
Oh, yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow's mum. Yeah,
Yeah,
it was Gwyneth Paltrow's mum, which was nice.
I didn't know she was an actress also.
Yeah, her mum's great. Her mum's a very respected actress. She does those films with De Niro, the Fockers, those ones. You know,
okay.
Yeah, she's great. So I you learn. There's always someone better than you in any kind of work you're doing. If you don't have someone you can aspire to, then
what drives the competition.
Not going to work.
You're correct. That's so awesome.
How about your looks? That intrigues us. You've been changing them, and then you went with the pirate look, which we love. I was like, oh my God, I love this. What inspired that? How come pirate?
Well, punk rock was, for me, it was like a lot of leather and stuff like that. It was quite sort of, I suppose 50 Shades of Grey, which you're getting now, is a bit what I was writing about then. So that time's caught up with me. But then punk rock itself got very grey. It got very dark and political, and I don't like mixing politics with music. I hate it. It bores me. So I'd had enough of that. And so it was the idea, the chance to do something heroic.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose the heroic characters, highwaymen, pirates, are always sort of outside, outlaws. And I was also very interested in the Native American Indian philosophy spiritually, which kept me grounded, I suppose. So it was really a mixture of all those things going on in my mind. And sometimes it worked, and that time it actually did work.
Good.
Was it hot, like during concerts, wearing so much
stuff? Well, it's still hot, and the stuff I'm wearing on this tour is quite a lot. I've just done quite a few festivals. Just did the festival in England. It was 30 degrees on stage, and I was wrapped up in the stuff.
Lord.
But once you've got it all on, you kind of switch off. It's like armor. That's your, I suppose it's like a football player. That's what they wear because they, that's what they...
And you embrace
it. So you don't think about it, but it all comes off by the end. Well, most of it comes off.
One way or another. So.
Well, it says the sexiest man alive from the top. Yeah, MTV Tops from the 80s.
I'm still waiting for my award. Didn't get an award for that.
What? It's
just like
what do you think your award should be?
Should have been a night out with someone, the sexiest woman in America.
There you go. It should have been a night.
It should have been something. It should have been something, but right. Yeah, never mind.
Well, speaking of MTV, actually, your music videos got popular when MTV started, and MTV helped you get introduced to American fans, and music videos was MTV. Mm-hmm. And now, how do you feel about MTV now?
Well,
it's kind of unfortunate, right?
I mean, it's still going. It's become more of a kind of youth TV channel. But, you know, there's always room for, you know, videos now. It's really, there's been such a revolution in the way records are sold and bought now. It's a bit like the revolution that video caused in the first place. So things are a bit crazy out there in terms of how you sell a record. I've got my own record label now, so do I make a video or do I not bother? Well, I want to make a video because even if they show a few seconds of it prior to an interview on TV, it's still good to do.
Mm-hmm.
So but it doesn't have the same clout as it had before. But it's still worth doing, you know, and MTV is still about. So,
and we still enjoy the videos. I like to see the perspective of the singer, as in my perspective to the song, in their video, right?
Visual, I absolutely love that. The music videos.
And people can still download them. They can download them to their phones and have a look and have a look. You're exactly right. That's what the artist thought it was about. So.
Yeah. Well, now that we're going to go a little bit aside from music. We do have a little section called the Frisky Question section.
Okay.
And we were wondering if you wanted to be part of it.
How frisky is it? Is it?
It's
frisky
just frisky.
You want to be.
All right. Let's get on to the first question. What is your favorite sex position?
Any sex position.
Your favorite, ultimate favorite sex position.
No. There wasn't a favorite. I mean, I'm always looking for another one, really.
Hey, you should write the book.
Yeah. Animant sex positions.
Well, somebody's going to come up with something else.
Yeah. I guess.
And with more athletes and ballerinas and
flexibility
and yoga, trust me, something's going to come up.
Absolutely. But it isn't my favorite, it's her favorite, really, that matters.
There you go. I like that.
All right. Are you a boobs or butt person?
Ooh. Again, you can be, I'm a butt person, see someone that's got a fantastic pair of legs. I just think the whole package, everything. You know, I don't mean to sound non-committal, but I am definitely non-committal about body parts. It's the whole package.
It's the whole package.
Good.
It's the beauty, the body, the soul, everything.
Yeah.
Good, more girls have a chance.
Ding!
Absolutely.
All right, now this is going to be interesting because you've been everywhere. So what is the craziest place you've had sex at, in, or on?
All three questions or just one?
Just one.
Oh, do you want to answer each one?
I know.
Very, very early on in my my adventures, I thought me and my girlfriend thought it would be an idea to make love out, you know, on the beach, but it was like in a cove. In England, though, it wasn't like here, lovely beaches. It was like in a cove, and the tide came in, and we were going to drown. It was like in this cove, and it was really bad. I mean, we very nearly drowned. It was kind of
weird. My God.
So that was the most dangerous position.
Oh, my God. But was it like in the middle or towards the end?
No, it was in Cornwall, and it was just a little cave, and we climbed into this cave, and it was all very sweet and that, and very romantic. And then just lost sense of time, and then the outside in the sea was lashing, and we couldn't kind of climb out, and the sea was right.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! Now that's crazy.
That's pretty.
That's
intense.
Crazy.
Element of surprise with danger. That's very nice.
Yeah, that was.
All right.
Not
what
advisable.
Is? Or actually, first, do you like porn? To watch porn?
Porn's never been great. I'm not a big fan of porn. No, not really.
Okay, now we're asking
the real thing,
first.
Really. I mean, the real thing's more interesting. And I don't necessarily... I think the girls look great in it, but the guys are something... You know, it's a bit ugly to me.
That's good, because you like the live action. Just personal live action.
Yeah, I'd rather do it than look at it.
That's true.
Probably good point. We're going to start using that.
Yeah,
start to do it then look at it. All right. What is the... Do you have any fetishes?
And don't lie.
Fetishes? What, you mean sexual fetishes?
Yeah.
This is the frisky question section.
I don't know. I think it's nice when someone makes the effort to dress up for me, in whatever manner that may be, if they've thought about it. Because I think about it. So if they think about it back, that's quite nice.
That's a good one.
Has somebody dressed up for you before that sticks out in your mind?
No, no, I wouldn't name you.
No, not like that.
But,
what
was
she wore?
Yeah.
I suppose it's almost like I mean, fortunately now in Europe, certainly and supposedly here. I mean, my friend Joe, he started a company called Agent Provocateur in London.
Oh.
And so he, thank God for that, you know. Let's just say that I'd like to meet the guy that invented tights and punch him right in the eye. So I think lingerie's better.
Really?
I think lingerie's tasteful but nice.
Yeah, it is very nice. Do you leave it on or do you like to rip it off?
Depends.
Depends on what it is and how
Depends
much you
happened.
Can see.
Depends on how I'm feeling that night. Any fantasies that you have not fulfilled yet?
Oh yeah.
Ooh,
I like
that.
It's popped up.
Let me tell you. I want to hear.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but I'm not telling you.
No,
it's loads of them. There's always loads and loads. I think it's very. It's almost more exciting when it doesn't happen. But you think it happens. You know, if you've been on a train or something, you're just sitting there and you're looking at someone and they're looking back and you're just thinking, oh yeah, yeah. And then they get off.
The element of
surprise. Why didn't I get off?
Why didn't I get off?
All right. We are with the Playboy family, we want to know, what is your experience with Playboy?
Oh, I love Playboy. I think Playboy was the first, and I think Mr. Hefner came up with revolutionized sexuality. And I think that it's a very intelligent magazine, obviously more male prone initially, but it just came out of nowhere. And and the interviews, you know, I've got a number of old Playboys from the 60s and 70s, interviews with Marlon Brando, Paul Newman, presidents. I mean, it has two sides to it. It's a very well put together magazine. And it also, I think the women seem to enjoy being in it as well, as much as the men enjoy looking at it. So.
They do.
But it is a very serious magazine. There are some wonderful
interviews.
And I think some of the people interviewed were very much in that position where they could play and their image was put to one side and they just really gave it from the heart because they knew it was going to be read by a certain clientele. And I think the cartoons in it are good as well.
I know, the cartoons are the best. Do you remember the first time you saw a Playboy?
I think one of my uncles had it and I found it and I was sort of... I was quite young looking at it, but I quite enjoyed it even then. But it was taken away pretty swiftly.
Aww.
But I found it. So it's all right.
All right. Our last question we always ask everybody this is, if you could change the flavor of a woman's skin, what would she taste like?
Change it?
I like that. Where would I want to do that?
question is that?
Just as if you could do it.
Not really. If I could do it, no. I like the smell of a woman. I think it's marvellous. If it ain't broken, don't fix it.
Oh, I like that. Well, thank you. See, it's not that frisky. It's kind of good frisky. You have been baptized with the Playmates. Now, back to your tour. Mm-hmm. We were wondering on our way here, why are the names, well, not tour, but the band, the album, the tour, why this, is there a significance to the names, the titles being long?
Oh, the album title, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Adam Ant, it's Blue Black Kuzai, Marrying the Gunner's Daughter. Well, they remember it, but it is actually a bit like a film.
Mm-hmm.
It's 17 stories that go into what's happened since the last record and things that interest me. And I've always liked the idea of it sounding like a film. So Adam Ant is the Blue Black Hussar. The Blue Black Hussar is the character. What would the character that had the stripe on his nose look like 30 years later?
Ah.
Boy to man. And Marrying the Gunner's Daughter is a Navy term for getting punished. So I thought that was a reflection of some of my experiences in the music business. So the songs deal with all that. So it's about the new character, and it's quite autobiographical. So it makes sense to me, and as long as it makes sense to me. And the Good, the Mad, and the Lovely posse is like a nod to Clint Eastwood. They're good, I'm mad, and the girls are lovely. Because I've got two girls in my band, Yola and Georgie Girls. So you should take a look at them. They're really good.
I like that. We got that insight only here at Playmates Present with Adam Ant. So your tour officially starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you're going to be anywhere from Texas, California, Florida, I mean, Maryland, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for this?
I am. Yeah. I can't wait. I've just been waiting. The band are dying to do it. It's their first visit to USA. Most of them, so they're really thrilled.
Yay.
And we're just going to go in on our bus and play 100% live rock and roll.
Where do you start tomorrow? Here?
It's at the, what is it?
Mayan
Theatre, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vegas, and then I don't know where after that. All over Vegas. The place, all around. Yeah.
The Hard Rock Cafe.
Mm,
on Vegas, Cafe. So make sure you check them out. Mm. That's going to be Friday. So you're going to fly out right away. What happens in Vegas? Stays in Vegas.
Hopefully.
Good.
He's like, oh, good, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the slogan they keep sticking to. I don't know.
All right, so I think we're ready to get enchanted by your music.
Okay.
Are you ready to enchant us?
Yeah, I'm going to play an appropriate song called You're So Physical.
Yes!
Like it.
All right, so okay. Whenever you're ready.
Who's filming it? Okay. Maybe I wanna take you out, wanna wine and dine you, I wanna twist and shout, I want your heart in my arms, soft on my bed, you get the keys to my heart. That's for just, you know, the short one. You're so physical for me. You're just too physical to me. Woo-hoo. I want your rough house, maybe. It's right in your ear. Let me feel the danger. I want to make this feeling clear. Touch of your charms, the heat of your breath. I want to seal those dirty things that would be better unsaid. You're so physical for me. You're just so physical for me. Ooh. Ooh. I want your rough ass, maybe. Want this right in your ear. Let me feel your danger. I wanna make just feel clear. I want the touch of your jaw on the heat of your breath.
Sexy stories, adult entertainment, and playmates, playmates, playmates. Playboy Radio, Sirius XM 102.
This is Jessica Hall, and you just heard Playmates Presents on Playboy's Party. Thanks for listening to Playboy's Party on Sirius XM 102. We're here every day, so tune in tomorrow from 3 to 5.
Playboy Radio.
Playboy Radio.
Playboy Radio.
Sirius XM 102.